Welcome to the Rengineering YouTube and podcast, your weekly dose of Porsche culture. With Tech Talk, Heritage, the Ren Builds playlists, along with a massive dollop of waffle, we'll keep you entertained. So subscribe now on any podcast streaming service and YouTube. Welcome back to the Rengineering YouTube and podcast, and welcome to, I have no idea what episode this is, 53, I think. In lieu of a proper YouTube and podcast episode going out, because there's been two Tech Talks and a Heritage in the last few weeks, we're back with another waffle episode, and I'm staring Rick down like he's a dog, who claimed the other day that he wasn't a co-host, and I've rejected that claim, and he is a co-host. Welcome, Mick.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm not bad, not bad.
Cool. Okay. Right. So this episode is a true waffle episode, and we literally just decided this 30 seconds before hitting the record buttons, and we don't have anything scripted. So normally, as you guys will know, if you've listened to this for a while, Mick turns up and he's got a barrage of things to talk about, and we both failed. So we're just going to see how this goes. I've got a couple of ideas. There's one thing I want to talk about. In fact, let's just start here. Litigation and Porsche and the brand, the brand being protective and taking gentle swipes at, small people trying to do good things. Seems to be happening more and more and more. Have you noticed it?
Yes, I saw some things pop up on my Google timeline about Porsche versus Singer, and I'd heard some other stuff about people who make alternative bits and pieces for Porsche. So, and I've heard they've had some cease and desist stuff in the post. But I think the Porsche versus Singer is the
biggie, isn't it?
Yeah. And I sent you the pictures over. Yeah. If you look on the Singer website now, you know, before they'd had the Porsche lettering down the back and down the side of the cars, that doesn't appear to be there anymore.
All redacted.
Yes.
Which is a shame because it's, you know, ultimately the chassis is still a Porsche. So, It appears that anybody using that name in anything is that's what's upsetting them, and they're being active as opposed to kind of getting away with it. Thankfully, the reason why Mick said, "Oh, I don't want to be, I'm a guest, I'm not a co-host," is because Mick also didn't want to be kicked in the balls when it came to being litigated against. Well, thankfully, Rengineering doesn't use any Porsche branding anywhere. It is on my Cayman, but that is a modified Cayman, so it, you know, you can suck it. But
you're not selling the Cayman.
No, and that's my personal car.
I think the issue is that when you buy a Singer, are you buying a Singer or are you buying a Porsche or are you buying a collaboration?
Yeah.
And I don't know what's going on behind the scenes with Singer and Porsche, but that's the bit that Porsche are trying to. I think they're drawing a line in the sand, I'm not heard of anything else with anything like Gunterworks or Theon Design or anything like that. So
it's mad, isn't it? Because it's the if you listen to Andreas Pruninger or Walter Ruhl or anybody that's connected to, like, properly woven into the Porsche DNA and their, you know, career's been built by it, they all talk about the fact that modifying a Porsche or kind of the kind of industry surrounding the brand, it's a part of the brand.
Yeah.
It's an extension of the brand, and actually, it's part of the reason why we all love the brand in the first place. Because personalization is one. It's one of those few top tier companies, automotive companies, that encourages it. There's dozens of communities. We're part of a community that endorses and encourages it. So it's a weird one, isn't it? Because it's not. It's got to be simply down to the fact that they're, like you said, they're heavily monetized off the back of the brand Porsche, as opposed to being a kind of an independent thing. I don't know, mate, it's a tricky one.
Yeah, and so just one other thing I mentioned before we went up to the Porsche Club HQ in Morton on Marsh, and we were talking about the guys up there were talking about the new emblem for Porsche Club, and it was a directive from Porsche that we...
Was it?
Yes. So, and I don't care what the badge is. I couldn't even draw it for you. I know it's got a circle with a line through it and a couple of reds and blues.
you're not going to be watching this on YouTube, but that's a horrific, given how passionate Mick is and he's had a number of Porsche, That's a terrible thing to say.
The Porsche Club.
Oh, the Porsche UK, Club. Okay. Yeah. I thought you meant the actual emblem itself. I was like, Porsche wow.
The Porsche Club UK.
Yes. Emblem. Sorry. Yeah. I was about to just throw you under the bus there.
But I think worldwide, every Porsche Club, whether it be in Germany or US, I think they all had different designs. Some of them may have been similar. But I think what they're trying to do is top down as everyone has. So they've got the same emblem, if you like, from a Porsche Club perspective.
Yeah, that makes sense. Porsche Club America have got the kind of PCA, literally PCA in the middle, and then the kind of, it's like a red background, I think, and then they're blue kind of circle around that as well.
That might have to change as well.
This is a waffle episode, really, because let's go into Porsche Club Great Britain then. I think there's probably a good indicator for them about kind of their backing and the kind of direction. It makes me wonder what else Porsche are mandating, whether they're kind of suggesting that actually the structure of those independent groups that are affiliated with Porsche are kind of going to be told how to structure them. And it's, I guess, watch this space in terms of that stuff, right?
Go back to the singer. Yeah, so it could be an over-officious lawyer somewhere who wants to make a name for himself. I don't know. But it seems to have stemmed from Porsche North America.
Okay.
But I think that's where Singer are based, aren't they?
Yeah, California,
primarily
yeah.
based in America. Aren't yeah. they? But I know they got bits and pieces
based in the
here.
UK, yeah. and I think they were somewhere in Germany, and I think somewhere else as well, Switzerland or something. But yeah, primarily California.
Yeah.
I still want to speak to Rob Dickinson, but it's going to be a while, I think. I'm going to pin that down. But yeah.
Interesting. So
it is, yeah. Like you said, it's not, I think it's Singer's one brand, right? And Gunther Works. But for me, it's less about those guys because not that they'd fight it, but they're at least in a position to negotiate or kind of find a sweet spot.
Mm-hmm.
It's not those guys for me. It's the much smaller companies that they're doing okay and they're making resto mods, whatever it is, or even parts companies, right? That have just identified their part as being useful for a Porsche or it's designed for a Porsche. So what does it mean for those guys? They can't afford to kind of have a scrap, you know? In fact, we're not going to talk about the club brands or the names or anything, but I know we both know of a particular UK small, very small club that got kicked in the balls as well.
Yes.
You know?
Just had to change his name.
Just had to outright change their name. Yeah. You know, and I mean, I'd like I said to you, I think I'd be framing that cease and desist letter and stick on the wall somewhere. But the reality is, you know, if they're that kind of stern about it, I feel sorry for. They've got like take design stuff online, for example, and I know they're very careful about the use of the trademark and they make decals for Porsche basically, and they provided me my decals, and then John, the guy that owns the company, he's an amazing guy, he's so helpful, but those guys aren't making millions of pounds a year. Mm-hmm. You know, they're providing an income for them and their family, and that's probably about it. So to go off, that's the bit I find difficult, is that, you know, a brand that loves its kind of owners and embraces the culture around it, on the one hand is patting you on the head, and the other hand is kicking in the balls for the fifth time. So,
but like you said, the Andreas Preulingers of this world love the modified stuff as well.
Yeah.
So it's clearly not coming from him, because he's like, you know, you can't, some of the newer Singer stuff is, you know, whether you like it, some of it's a bit Marmite.
Yep.
But the 964 stuff, that is stunning.
The classic, which is the original one they launched. Yeah, no, I think it looks so, it's not on full steroids, is it? It's on kind of like, you know, it's like a protein shake, but it's not like pumped on steroids. Whereas the, you know, like you said, the DLST and the Turbo Study and those sort of the newer ones, they're kind of...
They're Marmite.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
I don't know, mate. But... let us know in the comments, because you can do that. I don't know if you know this, but you can do it. You can actually add comments in Spotify. And I think you can do it in Apple Podcasts as well. So if you're interested in this and you've got some thoughts of your own, put those in the comments section. We'll have a read and then we'll come back to them another time. Yeah. What else is going on for you then, Mick? Car back?
No. So I've got the car. Yeah. It's not fixed yet. So
I know roughly what happened, but give us an overview. Because the last time we spoke, we were in Porsche Portsmouth and the car had gone in. We're expecting it to be a high five. 2 days later, you get working PADM.
So they said pad and fault, obviously. Yeah. And they were expecting, they had to order the part in. And they said week 38 or 39, which I think is now.
Mm.
Connor works in weeks, so he had to tell me what it meant.
Okay.
So it's, they said end of September, basically, but they haven't got the part in yet.
So that, I mean, it's still drivable, right?
It's just yeah, you can drive it. Yeah. It's a white, like I said, it's a white alarm yeah. or alert, which means it's drivable. So it's it just, you know, it's just take it a bit more easily when you're going slower.
That's... Have you or not? Are you driving the car much?
Yeah, still driving the car.
Yeah, because yeah. we're running out of summer. So
yeah, no, yeah. still going well. Still going, apart from the Paddon Fort, obviously.
Apart from that.
So I was going to book Donington track day earlier on in the month, but I thought maybe not with a Paddon Fort. Some people have said you can drive it on the track day with Paddon Fort. So
yeah, right.
It's but I just didn't want to take the risk.
Fair enough. Yeah, and the car's still under warranty. So there's no chance of kind of doing anything funky with it.
And I was over Porsche Portsmouth on Sunday. For the 992.2 release.
Oh yeah, yeah. Tell us about that. What was that like?
So we got an invite through the Porsche Club, and obviously some of their special customers got an invite as well. Yeah, so we got an invite to Porsche Centre, Portsmouth, and they had. I was hoping they'd have a GTS there. They had two cars in, but they were both base Carreras.
Okay.
But I mean, they look. I mean, to be fair, we got there at 10:30. I was trying to get back for the Grand Prix. Mm. That failed. I just saw loads of people I hadn't seen for a long time. So
oh, really? Right.
I didn't even go and look at the cars until...
From the club?
Like from just other people. Yeah, some from the club, some people from work, some people that I knew in the Porsche world who I haven't seen for a long time. And loads of people were there that I, you know...
Cool.
So it was just catching up in the car park.
Yeah.
And getting our free burger and chips for breakfast.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
That, I knew there was a reason why I should have signed up for PCGV.
And coffee in the mornings.
And coffee in the mornings, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm lucky I get really well looked after by... Yeah. Porsche Portsmouth anyway, but
I've never had burger and chips for breakfast.
No, I haven't. Normally, in fact, I owe Ben and the team, and Terry and the team there a big packet of biscuits for the help they've given me over the recent weeks. So, but yeah, talk to me about the Dot 2. What was it like in person? Did you, anything jump out at you as like, well, that looks better or worse than the Dot 1?
Because it was a base Carrera, you didn't have the variable aero or anything like that, active aero. I couldn't tell that much difference really.
Right.
But, you know, it's. I think the base, one of the ones I had there was $120,000.
I can't get used to these prices, mate. Yeah. And I don't know if that just makes me very old or what, but £120,000.
Yeah.
I mean, the base Carrera.
Base Carrera, yeah. And I think the starting price for the GTS is 130, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I think we mentioned that before, 132.
Something like that, yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's the way of the world, isn't it? These cars are way more complex and more expensive to build, so they're bound to cost more, but and price, you know, inflation and all the rest of it. And I don't know. I guess the question is, if you had a Dot 1, would you be enticed out of a Dot 1 to a Dot 2? And what would you get for your Dot 1 now versus what the price cost to change be? It's probably, I don't know, maybe you get 70 or 80 for a base Carrera, decent spec, and then you're looking at, you know, 40,000-50,000 quid just get out of that and into a new, you know, the slightly newer one.
Yeah. But there was a sports classic in the car park.
Nice.
We were trying to discover.
Which one, the 997 or the newer one?
Newer one.
Yeah.
But we didn't know what colour purple it was. It was a purpley colour.
Purple?
Yeah. It was beautiful.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But we weren't sure if it was
Heritage classic.
Aubergine or,
yeah.
or you know.
Ultraviolet, whatever.
It wasn't ultraviolet, I don't think.
Right.
But that was beautiful, yeah.
Yeah.
That was stunning.
Is that with the Heritage interior? So
yeah.
I
had the Pepita interior, yeah.
Very nice. Yeah, they're lovely. Yeah. I mean, bullet money, they're crazy, aren't they? But, yeah.
They had a Dakar upstairs. They had a Spider RS, GT4 RS. So the GT, they had a second-hand GT4 RS. That was 138,000 now. So they're coming. So they're coming down in price.
Okay, let's take that then, for example. 120K on a brand new... base Carrera,
or
138 for a 4RS. I mean, they're not the same type of car, right? That's obvious.
Yeah.
You know, you could quite happily cruise up and down the motorway in a, you know, base Carrera, or, you know, schlep around in a normal car, and you could do it in a 4RS, but it'd be pretty noisy and pretty brutal. But it makes the Cayman seem like a really good value for that,
mm-hmm.
if that's what you're paying. To me, anyway, I don't know if you agree.
That's what I was thinking, yeah. You know? It's, there wasn't much difference in the price.
No. It's fascinating, isn't it? I think that's another whole topic on its own is the initial pricing for a 4RS when they landed on the market, they went skyrocketing up to nearly 200K.
Yeah.
And then they're kind of tumbling back down again. But the whole market's kind of falling back.
Yeah, the Dakar I had was under 200. Mm. I mean, when we spoke before about it, they were 220, 230.
Yeah. Yeah, I think one hit 245 or something at one point. Like, absolutely crazy money. Yeah. But even all the way down through to the 718 GC4, like your car, and the 981 GC4, saw a 981 GC4, not the greatest spec, comfort seats and not club sport or anything like that, but that was 52.
That's the cheapest, isn't it? That's the cheapest.
That's the cheapest I've seen, yeah. And I've seen a couple of 718s for in the mid 70s.
Yeah.
incidentally, my Carrera T that I owned, I've been watching those just out of pure curiosity and seeing what they've. And they're still around the 65, 70K mark. Yeah. Like, a lot of this stuff doesn't make any sense to me, you know, the pricing structure and how they're kind of settling down. But then you go all the way down to my car, like a base 981 came in, and I've seen them in the high teens for a very miley, ratty one to 32, 33 for a decent S, and probably late 30s for a GTS. So, and you know, the now that I've played with my car a fair bit, and I've got, you know, it's got a basically the DSC Sport GT3 PASM controller on it. It's the suspension, the steering's mapped to a GT3. There's so much potential in that car as a base car. It's really compelling for like the high teens. If you had 17, 18K, that's a great car to get into for 17 or 18K. Because there's so much you can do with them. And everything's, and I've said this before, I've said it on a YouTube video actually, everything's cross-compatible in that generation. So I could borrow stuff of your car, not literally, because I think you'd have a fit, but I could buy, you know, you could literally go around hunting for bits and throw it on one car. It's amazing.
Well, I was showing Moira on Sunday. I said, that bit there and the black, what do they call it, the oil, not the oil.
Yeah, the GT4 RS middle bit in the back, yeah.
So mine's silver, yours is black, or the GT4 RS is black, and you put the black one on, and I think that looks really good.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. So I said, Paul's put that on here, so it's all compatible.
Yeah, £200, yeah. Yeah, it's amazing what you can do that is just relatively inexpensive that brings it up to date. So, again, let us know. What would you do if you had £100,000 to play with, burning a hole in your pocket? How would you spend that £100,000? Would you buy most of a base Carrera 992.2, or would you buy a couple of different cars? I think I'd probably, how would I spend £100,000? I'd buy a classic. I keep seeing 964s for in the early 60s, and I'm like, I went to Caffeina Machine last night, and there was a white 964 on white cut wheels, so it kind of looked like an RS really, but it was Carrera 4, and I was frothing over that thing. It looked bloody lovely. So I think I'd have one of those, and that'd leave me 40k, and I'd buy a Cayman R, manual Cayman R Club Sport, in really nice condition. And I still drive my shitbox up around.
So, interestingly, you mentioned the Cayman R. I've listened to the Chris Harris, the new podcast.
Yeah.
So I was listening to it on the way to work this morning, and they sort of said, you've got £50,000 to spend, and it's something you'll invest in that will make money.
Mm.
And one of them did say they'd buy the Cayman R.
Yeah.
You know.
I've been saying it for ages, Peridot Green, launch colour, Club Sport spec, Cayman R. You know, and you could argue, and I know people have argued that it was a marketing exercise, and to an extent it was, but a bloody good one.
Yeah, but then Chris Harris...
Did he shit on it?
Because he's poo-pooed the Cayman R.
Come on, Chris.
Yeah. He basically said that it's a parts bucket being exercised.
Yeah.
He says it's a Cayman S with a few bells and whistles on it.
It kind of is, but then you get the doors off a GT3 of that generation or... They're lightweight doors, the glass is lightweight. It is one of those things. Yes, I mean, they're marginal gains, right? You're not going to tell the difference between those doors and the bonnet being different and things like that. But But then if you look back in history, the 968 Club Sport, ain't that special.
Yeah.
It's just a set of funky colours and some different suspension and some fancy seats. But history tells us, right, those weird little... you know, niche things that people at Porsche will do and make low numbers of, they all do really well, you know? Yeah. So I think, who was it that said that? Is it someone well known or not?
No, it's one of his, it wasn't Manish, I can never, it was one of the other two.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I'll have to have a listen to that because, Yeah.
I wish Chris hadn't said it, because I was like, yeah, Cayman.
Go on, Cayman. Yeah, yeah. Represent the Caymans. What would you do with 100K, mate? Where would that go for you?
Looking at the collecting cars, they've done a special on 50th year of the Porsche Turbo.
Yeah.
So looking at that, there were some quite nice ones around about the 100K mark. Some were 100. Wow. Some of the ones that I think the best one I saw was a 930, which was a Targa. I didn't know they did a 930 Targa.
I didn't know they did.
But they, but that was 150 that went for.
Wow.
And the guards really looked immaculate. Mm. So I'd probably go for the oldest turbo I could get for 100K.
And you put all your money in one bucket?
Yep.
Wow. There you go.
In for a penny?
In for a penny. Just make sure you buy a really good one.
Yes.
I think that's the thing as well, is that I've got some time with Frank Cassidy coming up in a couple of weeks' time. We're going to hang out and shoot another episode. And he's just got back from another Alps tour. 2 weeks driving around the Alps again with all of his mates. And I don't know if anyone broke down. I'll find out from him in a couple of weeks' time. But I know from seeing and speaking to a few people go on those road trips with an air-cooled car, it is like a proper... No idea whether it's going to make it.
Yeah.
Might be stuck on the road in 20 minutes. Might be 3 hours. Might be in 4 days' time. Yeah. But there's a reasonable chance if a group of you go in air-cooled old Porsche, you're going to get stuck somewhere.
Well, you saw those pictures I sent you last week. They had a freak. Weather's in
oh
the
yeah,
Alps.
Yeah.
So if you see any pictures on Instagram of people's
stranded
in the middle of the Alps, or
where was that again?
One was in Cortina, which is a ski resort down near south of France, not far from Toulon, and the other one was the Grimsel Pass in Switzerland. But they had horrific weather, and I think there's floods lower down. So in Italy, they've had flooding as well. So
yeah, I saw some of that. Yeah, wild, isn't it, this time of year?
You wouldn't so freezing weather, freezing weather across all the passes, mountaintops, buckets of snow.
Yeah.
In September.
It's taught me one thing, because I'm planning next year's road trip at the moment. We're trying to figure out what to do. And timing-wise, I think like late June, early July is pretty much bang on in terms of weather. It's hot, don't get me wrong, it's really hot, but you can kind of guarantee the passes will be open. You can guarantee you can't guarantee the weather, but the weather's more likely to be pretty decent. Got any plans next year, mate, for a trip?
Nothing yet. Late June or July might work.
Yeah. Well, this is it. If you're listening to this, Mick and I have not talked about this yet. But yeah, if you're, I think diary crunch, mate, and see whether it works, because I'm super keen to go back. I'd love to do the Swiss Alps. Having seen some of the stuff that's over there, I just think it would be really cool to go and do that side.
Yeah.
It's the bit that Frank keeps talking about. It's like, mate, you've got to get your ass to the Swiss side. So
just obey the speed limit in Switzerland.
Just don't take the piss, yeah.
Yeah. Because you hear stories about people having to leave their cars there.
I'm not doing that.
They've been nicked for speeding.
Yeah.
But they've been... Yeah. Proper stupid driving, you know. So
yeah, and I'm less bothered about being you know, doing that. I'm much more about the kind of experience. And you know, I'll take the Col de Sereni as an example, right? It's so switchbacky there that you can't really build up much speed anyway. You're kind of on, you're out of second and third gear, and it's, you're just enjoying the kind of flow of it, right? Yeah. Just like whipping around the corners and stuff, and hearing the noise bounce off the mountains. That's there isn't much that beats that. So yeah, have a think, mate.
Yeah, we'll do. Going back to your question about, I mean, it'd be more than 100K, but I'd love to get a 964 turbo.
Mick's saying this because he's a baller and he's got loads of money, so.
Nah. And I'd love to get it in black and just drive around playing Bad Boys out the window.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really cool. And one of the, if you haven't watched the YouTube episodes, there's an episode out with the owner of a Carrera GT, and he had a 964 turbo white body, and he was saying the same thing. He was like, I bought that purely because of Bad Boys. And it had black, I think it was black leather with red piping, and you know, it was absolutely bang on spec. So they're wicked cool cars. They still look really good. I saw one, let me, in fact, I don't know if I'm going to be able to find this now, probably not, but I will have a very quick look. Let me see, there was a white body, it wasn't a turbo, it was a C2, but it was, I'm not gonna be able to find it, I'm sure. Let's have a look, just in case it randomly comes up. Hey, there we go. That's a miracle. Look at that.
Is that ruby stone or ruby
star? It's not.
Star?
It's not. It's neither. It's.
Oh, is it red?
Yeah, it's red. Oh, okay. So it's metallic. I don't actually know what colour it is. It's kind of like a.
It's not carmine red, is it?
It's not carmine red.
Is it lighter shade of carmine? Is it?
No, it is. I can't remember what the colour is, and I'm kicking myself because there's a chap that I've got an episode, a heritage episode. It's been shot and in the bank already. With a guy called Paul Layton, and he's got this absolutely incredible left-hand drive wrestling mod that he built, and he's also got a cab in the same colour, and he told me what colour it was.
Yeah.
Now, if you're listening to this, this meant so far meant absolutely nothing to you whatsoever. But I just showed Mick a picture of a car I found that is quite, you know, it looks like a 911 GT in a kind of sort of, what do you call it, a metallic. Sort of maroon, something like that.
Yeah, it's like a reddy dark. It's a dark,
darker. It's not quite maroon, is it? Yeah. But it's got the cup split wheels, bolted on arches. I mean, it looks this bloody brilliant. $80,000 for that.
What was he? So he's got a GT2 body kit. Yeah.
I think. Let me remind myself. In fact, I'll look at the. So it's a 3.6 Carrera 2. Manual arena red, there you go. Uh-huh. Factory Carrera RS body kit, so added, but it's factory parts, it's
Carrera
not
RS and not the GT2.
Yeah. So yeah, £80,000. I think I want to retract my previous statement based on that. That's a bit of a weapon, that thing. I love it.
Yeah, it looks cool. It
looks very cool. Yeah. So that's $80,000, and I've 20k left. Do you know what I'd do, mate? After me saying waxing lyrical about 981 Caymans, I'd find a Miley, like an 85,000 mile cheap 981, and then start my project again, basically, yep. And do the same thing again. So yeah, that's a pretty good pairing because you could daily the 981, and then you could stick that in the garage. And,
yeah,
piss your missus off because you're never inside. We would look like a bunch of idiots. Can you imagine the two of us driving around, you in your bad boy's car with bad boys, yeah. What you gonna do? And then me chaining behind you with it. Oh, the world of cringe. Yeah.
Well, we can't get much cringier than that.
No, that's pretty much it. Vomit in a bucket at that point.
Well, if you watch the latest the Bad Boys 4, they got, I think it's a 992 Turbo S
they're driving
around in. So they managed to slide it around every corner.
Yeah, as if they could. Yeah, good. What are we on now? 28 minutes. Have you got anything? Is there anything jumping to you, mate, that you've got that you know about that's happened in the community or the culture or?
Nothing Porsche, just the. Yeah. Obviously, the Formula One. Have you been watching any of it recently?
Mate, I've been so bad the last couple of years, considering I've got three mates that work in the Formula One industry. You'd think I'd make more of an effort.
This is peak F1 at the moment.
Right, okay.
Since Austria
mm-hmm.
to now. We've had different race winners pretty much every weekend.
Yeah.
You know, we've had, and Red Bull's gone backwards. Adrian Newey.
I saw that. Aston
gone to Aston Martin.
Yeah.
I mean, Lawrence Stroll's dad.
Mm-hmm.
He's obviously read Adrian Newey's autobiography because he wants to return to the old school F1 where you have an owner that you can go and talk to, and he wanted to be a shareholder. Which Red Bull wouldn't give him, Ferrari wouldn't give him, and Lawrence Stroll's gone straight in there and offered him a stake in Aston Martin.
Where is this? So he said, yes, please.
And he's got someone that he can go to if he wants to make a change rather than go through layers and layers of business.
Mm.
You know? A bit like the Ford versus Ferrari film where
they're building
the GT40, you know, and Carroll Shelby didn't like the structure in Ford, which is, you know, it's a big company. They that's how they structure themselves, isn't it?
Yeah.
This way, you can go straight to one person. Yeah.
Love it. Well, let's see what happens then, because Adrian Newey is a god in terms of his ability. So,
I mean, last weekend in Baku in Azerbaijan, they had three cars at the front for pretty much half the race, and in last few laps, there's four cars at the front within a couple of seconds of each other.
Right.
And it was only when Carlos Sainz and Sergio Perez took each other out on turn three that the race finished, but it was brilliant racing on edge of the seat.
I need to get back. Do you know what? Okay, so that's going to kick me into gear then. When's the next race, mate?
This is Singapore this weekend.
Yeah. Okay. Night race as well, right?
Yeah. So. But it's on our, it'll be lunchtime for us.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll make a commitment then. Oh, actually, at the Legends Drivers Club kind of final big event at Hever Castle, I think it is, on Saturday.
Hever Castle.
Thank you. Yeah. So I'm going to that in the morning, but yeah, hopefully I'll be back in the afternoon.
And there's a good chance of it raining in Singapore as well.
Yeah, all over the shop.
Yeah, guaranteed rain in that nick of the woods sometimes during the day. So
nice. So again, a challenge for me then, watching Formula One. Cool. All right, mate. Well, look, thank you so much for joining me. I know that we haven't had a particular sort of set of things to talk about. We managed to ramble through a fair bit. So
I'll do some research next time.
Okay. Well, look, again, as always, hope you've had a lovely week. I hope you've got plans for the weekend to get out and drive. If you don't have an opportunity to do that, so spend some time with your mates and ask each other, what would you do with your 100K? And let us know. Take care for now. Take care. Bye-bye.